much about.
Do you want to tell me something? You look like you want to tell me something. You look like you have something really important to say, and you just can't for some reason. Come on, you can tell me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If you have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you don't have it. If you have it, you need more of it. If you have more of it, you don't need less of it. You need it to get it. And you certainly need it to get more of it. But if you don't already have any of it to begin with,
what?
You can't get any of it to get started, which means you really have no idea how to get it in the first place, do you?
You told that loser.
I don't want to lie, and I don't want to tell the truth.
And now,
February. February. February.
Our feature presentation.
Finally, good music up in here.
Oh, God.
Is that right? Were you thinking about it all day yesterday?
Maybe. I mean, maybe it went through my head a lot.
Pretty good song.
Maybe I was singing.
You gotta admit, you're starting to come around on it. Pretty good song.
Here's the thing. The music is different from the lyrics. So if you're not, if you're only listening to the music sometimes, it's a great song.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do yourself a disservice by actually paying attention to the words.
Except in this case.
Because a lot of times they're incredibly
stupid. Tale about love gone wrong.
Jackie
Please
Jill, right.
Refer to yesterday's podcast if you don't know why we're discussing a song from 150 years ago.
Right.
But it just now started bugging Kevin. So it had to be dealt with.
Well, I just heard it yesterday for the first time in, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. Can I tell you a story about coming in this morning?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Pull up to the station, pull in, park. For some reason, from the time I'm out on the street, I see Muggs just standing at the gate with his head down. Jeez. He's not doing anything. And I was like,
huh,
what's going on? So I pulled in, and I waited for somebody else to park, and I parked. And then I was sitting in my car, and I still looked at Muggs, and he was still just standing there outside the gate.
Oh.
Just looking like old, just sad.
He is very sad.
And then finally I walked up and he's like, I lost my wallet. So you know what I mean? So I used my key card to let him in because.
Whoa.
Because.
What did that feel like?
That's sad.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine losing your card and
you
not being able to get
in?
You
just showed up with that cape and you're like,
right?
Let me handle it.
Exactly.
I'm Kev Dog.
Can't imagine losing my card or even leaving my wallet at home.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
He's a dumb.
Right?
anyone who would not. Not have his key card
right?
Because of it works.
Stupid, right?
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
It happens.
well done. I'm glad you were there to pick up the pieces.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 2nd of February.
Saw a story in the news this week. I want to get started with. I think you'll find interesting. How do I phrase this? Sometimes people show more of their body than you would like to see, but is that on you or is that on them? Because who says that they have to walk around looking the way you want them to look or showing what you want or don't want to see? Shouldn't they be allowed to dress the way they want to dress and be comfortable
like,
the way they're comfortable?
I feel like we're going to need more details.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying in general, though. In general, I think, look.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
In general, deal with it. There are certain things that are indecent. I don't think anyone wants people running around with their genitals all waving in the wind. But, you know.
Sure.
Waving in the wind?
Yeah, or, like genitalists do.
Whatever they do.
How genitalists do.
The story that got me thinking about this was a story from earlier this week. Spirit Airlines is one of the low-cost travelers. And a woman was on a plane in New Orleans on her way to Fort Lauderdale. And the flight attendant comes by and tells her to cover up. So she – and by the way, I just tweeted out a photo, Allie, if you'd like to play the home game here and see what her body looked like when the flight attendant came by on January 30th and told her to cover up. And she tried to. She pulled up the sweater or whatever it is you call that thing that she's wearing to cover herself up. And the flight attendant came back and said – she says in loud and rude tones that she would have to leave the plane if she could not get her breasts covered. She was very upset by this. She was humiliated. She was embarrassed. This flight attendant was saying it in front of everybody. and she started crying. And another woman on the plane gets up and comes to her defense. And according to this story, both of the women were asked to leave the plane.
Ooh.
That picture that you tweeted out is...
Every day, all the time, always, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's just cleavage.
That's cleavage.
It's a little cleavage. It's not even a lot of cleavage. It's just cleavage.
And she's not wearing a string bikini top or anything like that where it's just barely covering the naughty bits. I mean, it looks like something you could walk out of this radio station and find this look within 5 minutes on the street, right?
Did you just call them the naughty bits?
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So,
giant-sized cans.
As always, with many stories, I have more questions than I have answers after reading the story. There's no possibility that this was why she got thrown off the plane. She had to have gotten belligerent or something, right?
So there's a lot more to the story that we're not aware of, and that's why she got thrown up. But why did the other woman get thrown
Why did the other woman get thrown? I mean, how does somebody who's coming to the defense of this woman get thrown off the plane also? Both of them were asked to deboard, and the second woman wrote that she slept at the airport. She said, just trying to protect the meek. The first woman's mother said, my daughter was humiliated because the flight attendant had said it out loud. Spirit Airlines, however, says the woman's bust was not taken into the account. Nobody was taken off the plane because of cleavage. People were taken off of the planes because of behavior.
Oh.
So it wasn't how low her top was.
It was her reaction probably to being asked to cover up. And look, maybe she didn't handle it well. And there's one thing you know about flying. It's that the flight attendants and the people who work for the airline have all the power. The customer doesn't have the power. They're the judge and jury, and they get to make the decision. But I don't blame her for being upset.
Agreed.
If this is what she looked like and they came to her and said, you got to cover up.
If that's all it was, I agree.
I don't blame that at all.
But even if they came to her and said, cover up, I mean, really, if it's my airline, I'm giving her a couple of drinks.
Are you? Okay.
Maybe some extra peanuts.
For those who wonder if that was the problem, is that she was intoxicated, she says she had had a beer before boarding but was in no way drunk. So she says that wasn't it. So.
It's all adding up to a very different story.
Yes.
Then I just cried
she
a few tears.
Beer. Why had a beer?
I don't know. Why does that even come up?
But she had a beer equals she was drunk.
She was smashed before she got on the plane?
Listen, how many times have I said, oh, yeah, I had a beer?
That's 17.
Yeah, like 15 to 17. But you admit to one.
Sure.
I see.
So she's a sloppy drunk is the problem there, I think.
Well, maybe it is. But should the flight attendant have said a word to this woman?
No.
To even start this entire process, however it led to, whether somebody was drunk or somebody was out of hand or somebody said the wrong thing, and they both, you know, those people ended up getting kicked off the plane. Is there anything in that photo that makes you think that she deserved to be talked to at all?
No. Mm-mm. You see that all the time.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I like boobs. Big boobs.
Yeah. So there you go. So I'm going to keep that in mind next time I'm flying Spirit Airlines. I'm going to watch it.
You're going to watch your cleavage?
Or whatever.
Okay. Whatever. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Me Too, shall we?
Kevin, I'm really going to need you to try a little harder. Okay, buddy?
Aww.
On the program today, we're going to talk to people who make a living on webcams.
We didn't get to this yesterday, but we haven't forgotten about you, ladies.
Right?
Or men.
Or men, sure.
Like you don't know, Bean.
Right? Matt Money Smith on the program today. He's in Houston for the Super Bowl. Very excited about that. We have tickets for a Green Day at the Rose Bowl coming up this morning. We have Bean's Death Corner. And Groundhog's Day is nonsense, right? Groundhog's Day is nonsense, right? What?
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, Groundhog's Day.
You said Groundhog's Day. It's Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's today. And it is nonsense.
Groundhog's Day is today?
Is nonsense. Yeah, Groundhog's Day is today.
Groundhog. February. And there's lots of reasons it's nonsense, but mostly it's because he's never right.
Oh, but I think you just want to see the groundhogs.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's just what?
Does that make you happy?
It's just the groundhogs?
I just love seeing the groundhogs.
That's why it's called Groundhog's Day. Didn't realize this was going to be so fun. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Guys, Ralph Garman is back. He's tanned. He's rested. He's ready. And he's here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. How are you, Ralph?
I'm none of those.
Really?
Actually.
He's not tan, I'll tell you that.
Certainly not. Far from rested and completely ill-prepared, so hate to contradict you, Bede, but...
I take it all back.
Wrong on every count?
None of those things are
happening.
You
did successfully miss the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, though, which I know was your plan.
That was an upside. That was the happy byproduct of a stomach bug. That was the only good thing that came out of it. Really, it did help a little bit as
sure,
I was sick,
sure,
knowing that one good thing did come out of it. So,
well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you, sir. Let's give away something to kick things off this morning, shall we?
You poor bastards that get up this time of day.
Let's give you something.
Look, we feel your pain. We know what it's like to be up at this hour. You don't want to be here. Hell, we don't want to be here. But look, we all have to be here together. So let's try to get through it the best way we can by taking some of the sting off. This is like your stomach bug. You get up in the morning and you have to go to work and that blows. But if you get a little something, if you win some tickets to something, it's like missing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. There's a little bonus in it for you. Makes the pain all worthwhile, right?
How dare you.
Here is your chance to play poker with Beer Mug.
Yay!
What could be more exciting? And I heard he lost his wallet, so he probably needs the money real bad. He's going to play desperate. That's when you take advantage of him. It is K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino tomorrow night at The Bike. You will get to play at Beer Mug's table, plus you'll get a rack of chips worth $200.
That's how you get it done.
You gotta be 20.
Learn, kids.
Yeah, okay, all right. Beer
Mug. He said learn, kids.
Learn, kids. You got to be 21 years of age or older to win this prize. Keep that in mind as you dial in. One lucky winner will get to play with Beer Mug tomorrow night at K-Rock's Guys Night Out. Why don't you give us a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 21. Caller 21, since you got to be 21 years of age or older, will get a place at Beer Mug's table. And if you don't get through and win, you can also RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys right now at thebike.com.
Dude. Yeah. That is awesome.
Things kick off tomorrow night. Blackjack and poker will start at 9 p.m. And it'll be a good time.
Mike's a loud dude. He's a loud dude when he's playing
poker.
That's
the life right there.
Hey, Kevin!
That's not annoying at all.
Kevin, I have a 9-7. Should I push?
No.
Not quite that bad.
There's no alcohol involved. Is there any chance?
There may be.
Yeah.
Beverage?
Yeah.
Or Ken?
Chrissy Metz. Does that name ring a bell for you? Chrissy Metz.
Yes.
No.
Chrissy Metz.
No.
Kate,
I don't know who that
on
is.
This Is Us. No?
She's the fluffy one, right?
Sure. She's fluffy. The overweight one on the show. That's her storyline. Big part of it.
That's her storyline. In real life, she's svelte.
It is.
Is it a fat suit? Like Eddie Murphy?
I hate all of you.
Okay.
Fascinating story, by the way, about her getting her breakout role on this popular NBC TV series. This is a call on topic we should have. Maybe the lowest you've ever been before you got a new job. Because she had... How much money do you think she had in the bank when she got this gig?
Boy, there's no way to know, but if you're saying the lowest you've ever been...
It's not a lot of money. I'll give you that as a hint.
$200.
All right, that's a good guess. 81 cents.
Wow.
Whoa.
81 cents in her bank account, was living on unemployment and a credit card, and she had to often stay with friends on their couch. Big couch. And in order to get meals, they would buy her food. A lot of food. So,
Jesus.
I'm just saying, that's low.
That is pretty low.
She said she's so grateful for her amazing support system. And she says often while she's driving to work in the morning, she will just break into tears of happiness while she's driving.
Had she done any acting before this role on This Is Us?
I believe she had. I believe she was a professional actress. That's why she was living on unemployment, because she had had some gigs. But things were not going well. Wow. And then with one fell swoop, or one swell foop, her life changed.
She's very good on the show.
She is a very, very talented actress.
And I will tell you that it is surprising to me that they hired someone as big as her. I mean, she's the largest person I've ever seen act on a television show. Ever. But she's perfect for that role.
May I present, Your Honor, Gabrielle Sidibe.
She's big. Big girl. I think This Is Us lady's bigger.
Well, let's get them out. Let's bring them out.
Ladies
and gentlemen, here they are right now. Come on out, girls.
We have a scale.
You know, Gabrielle Sidibe would would lose that contest. I don't know if you've seen her recently, but she is a fraction of her former self.
Wow.
She underwent a surgery to drop some extra weight. She started a diet and exercise regime, and she lost, so far, 75 pounds.
Wow. How about that? Good for her.
So significant weight loss for that young lady.
At Jimmy Kimmel's wedding, the music started and everybody stood up, and then she, in a wedding dress, walked up the aisle. Cabaret Citibay.
It's pretty funny.
Just to be funny. Jimmy. It's good. And then everybody sat back down and waited.
Pretty, pretty funny.
Now, I'm getting a note from our producer, Dave, who asked if we remember when Kevin brought a scale to a Kevin and Bean singles party.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What was that about, Kevin?
I'm not proud. I think it was a swingers party, right?
It was. It was our one and only swingers singles party.
And I think...
And Kevin had this long-standing belief that anyone in the swinging lifestyle automatically had to be ugly and obese. That was
his theory, based
on all of his years of research and facts and having spent some time in the lifestyle. Oh, wait a minute. It was just his guess. And so he decided to prove his point by walking into the party carrying a scale. He was going to start weighing people.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, I mean, I'm not proud of it.
I seem to remember it was a very attractive crowd, too.
I felt so horrible.
Exceptionally attractive crowd.
I had to leave my room with the scale, and then I had to get in the elevator, and I was just like, I am such an ass.
So at no point during that process you could have said, I know what I'll do. I'll not do this.
I was sort of backed into a corner by you guys, so I sort of had to
do it. Oh, it was us. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize then. I didn't realize all the pressure we put on you to be a massive tool.
Right. I wouldn't have done it if I wasn't
all
forced into it.
All that tool pressure.
Right. No, that's embarrassing. It is.
That one's on you?
Yeah.
What you're saying?
I'm embarrassed by that, yes.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., The Improv on Melrose. Something magical is going to happen.
No.
Yeah, it will.
No.
Two men will take the stage. Two men who share, dare I say, a bromance. Something physical could happen tomorrow night.
Is that right?
It's been in the offing for some time. I felt it coming down the pike, as they say. Kevin Smith and I will be on stage celebrating Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come join us. Why don't you go to improv.com. Get more details and your
tickets.
Come
on, Ed. There's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
Catch. There's no catch. You can get your tickets at improv.com. Come out and see us tomorrow night. We're going to have some fun. Improv.com. Celebrity birthdays today. Born on this February 2nd, Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog.
How awesome to be born on Groundhog's Day.
Right? I love Groundhog's Day.
Well, yeah, just the one. Just Dwayne, the dog Chapman. He's 64 years old today. I told you about the wedding I was at where he was there with a sleeveless tuxedo, right? We had that conversation. Shakiro's 40 years old today, and Gemma Arterton. Not an easy name to say, but it's well worth it. She is lovely and talented. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Happy Groundhog Day, everybody, right?
Groundhog. It's just the one hog. It's just the groundhog.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
Very excited. You tell me we're going to hear some of the highlights from the coverage of Bugs Bunny Phil from
this morning? Not really highlights. It's just them doing it. And it's magical.
I can't wait. That's coming up first, though. Allie, you're not going to like the comparison I'm about to make, but I was given this a lot of thought. You know, Steve Bannon, that's a name that a lot of people have been hearing now.
He is the
president's advisor, but he also ran the Donald Trump campaign. And by all accounts, he's just a brilliant guy. He's a Navy veteran. He went to Georgetown and then Harvard Business School, and he ran Goldman Sachs, and then he went and was the editor of Breitbart. He's got a long history of doing things that turn him off to a large number of people. And here's what I would say, though: he reminds me so much of Bill Belichick, and here's why. He's a genius. He doesn't care what anyone thinks.
Mm-hmm.
He dresses however he wants to dress. He hates giving interviews. And every time he does, he says something that people get mad at him for.
He's Bill Belichick.
You see a lot of comparisons between the two?
No.
You wouldn't, right?
No.
Well, one quote that has refused to die was something that he said recently. Darkness is good, he said. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's power. Now, do you want somebody?
Is that what you
want from somebody who's essentially running the country? And it's interesting because he mentions Dick Cheney as being power, because Dick Cheney, of course, was, you know, very influential when he was the vice president for George W. Bush. Dick Cheney has not been a fan of everything that President Trump has done so far. Dick Cheney said this about the travel ban from last Friday. I think this whole notion that somehow we can just say no more Muslims and ban a whole religion goes against everything we stand for and believe in. Religious freedom has been a very important part of our history and where we come from. And that's from Dick Cheney. If you're too dark for Dick Cheney, you're doing something wrong,
Dick
right?
Cheney has to be thrilled with Steve Bannon. Because now everybody's looking back and going, Cheney wasn't that bad.
Right. Good old days, right? Well, it's been a while since we caught up with our former vice president, Mr. Cheney, and I'm very excited. Let's bring him on the phone. You have his theme song ready? Mr. Vice President, how are you, sir? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Doing great. Pretty strong words you had against that travel ban from the president. You know, him being a member of your own party and whatnot. I think a lot of people were surprised to hear you say those things.
Well, now that I'm out of power, as it were,
right?
I don't really have to watch what I say nearly as carefully, and I can kind of just say what's in my black, dying heart.
Well, I just want to say it. I never thought I would. We really miss you and President Bush.
Yeah. How do you like us now?
Well, we like you a lot.
Yeah.
Like you a whole lot
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Look pretty good now, don't we?
So this, you know something about pulling the president's strings a little bit. You got
how
some experience.
How dare you, sir.
Well,
I simply served as a vice president to the pleasure of the president.
Right. You were very influential. A lot of people saw your thumbprint on a lot of things that were decided.
That's not true. I've had my thumbprints removed.
But what about this Steve Bannon, arguably the most powerful man in the world? What about Steve?
He's a scary mofo.
Yeah, right? Is he?
Yeah. I'm terrified. And nothing scares me.
Uh-huh.
I think his agenda may not necessarily align with American values. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, I think he wants the earth to swallow us up whole.
Well, he certainly loves white people, though.
He does like him some whitey. That's true.
Right?
We have that much in common. I'm a big fan of the whites myself.
Now, do you take this as a compliment when he says, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, that's power?
No, I would like him to not be on my side.
Wow.
I'd like him to back off of that. And yeah. And if I may, I think I can speak for my friends Darth and Satan. They feel the same way.
They do. Okay.
Yeah. So you'd prefer to maybe be distanced a little bit from what Mr. Bannon's got going
on. Yeah, you do you.
Okay.
As the kids say.
Sure.
And we'll do us. I was saying that to Darth and Satan this morning. We have a breakfast club.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. We can.
Wait.
We get together once a week, and we have a breakfast club.
Oh. You, Darth Vader, and Satan?
Yeah, we get together, and we just, you know, kibitz. You know, we just hang out and, you know, talk to each other about the day's events, and usually I'm in charge of croissants.
Okay, all right.
And Darth usually brings some sort of breakfast meat, either
I wouldn't
a sausage,
have expected
sausage
that.
Links, oh. or patties,
right,
or some sort of bacon bun product.
Right.
I don't eat a lot of bacon because then they have to put a brand new heart in me, and I'm on number 12.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You've
and
had
then,
some health problems.
Oh no,
Satan.
What does Satan bring?
What's the matter, young lady?
Right.
What are you afraid of?
I'm just nervous.
She
about
doesn't
what
like
Satan.
Satan
might bring.
Satan brings the French press coffee.
Okay.
Well, that sounds good.
That's delightful.
I don't know what you're so worried about.
I was afraid he'd bring orange juice.
He's a very.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
He's a very, very sophisticated man.
Is he?
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Cheney.
Hey, Darth, I got some fellas on the phone. Why don't you talk to them for a second? See what they have to say to you.
Darth Vader is there?
Good morning, Captain Bean. How are you?
Whoa.
We're good.
We're fine. Your friend Richard was telling us you bring a lot of great breakfast meats to the breakfast meetings.
Please, call him Dick.
Dick, all right.
Okay. What all kind right. of meat did you bring today?
This morning?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Jimmy Dean sausage links. One of my favorites.
That's
okay,
good.
All right.
Jimmy Dean and I will rule the universe as father and son.
Yes, so concerned about that.
Oh, he makes some good sausage, that Jimmy Dean.
This seems like a scary meeting, having the three of you around the table. Is there anything we should be worried about? You're not plotting bad things, are you?
You're worried about us, and you have Steve Bannon in the White House.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I never put a ban on the Jedi. I let them travel freely throughout the universe.
Well, yes. I mean, you try to kill them.
Sure, but that's all fair and well, isn't it?
I see. Okay.
I mean, I guess. Never put a travel ban on them. That's gross.
Okay. All right. At least you draw the line somewhere, Darth.
Oh, come on. I'm not that bad.
Okay.
Hey, would you like to talk to Satan?
No.
Hey, bring it on.
Hollywood.
Sadie, come on over here, Sadie.
Sadie. Wow. This is a nickname. This is troubling.
Hello.
Satan?
Yes, this is the Dark Lord.
Say hi to my friend Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
How's
nice
your breakfast?
To see you again.
How's your what?
Oh,
how's
nice
your
to see you again? What?
How's your breakfast? How's your breakfast going this morning?
Oh, it's delicious.
Now, what are you bringing?
I bring the French press coffee.
Oh, okay, that's
God
it.
God damn it! Pay attention.
I was paying attention.
He did say that.
It seemed like you're bringing much. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, this is Satan.
Not bringing enough for you.
I'm saying
how about if I bring hellfire?
Well, no, I mean,
hold on a second. What? How about if I bring hellfire? There we go.
Oh, there's fire.
Your assistant Omar is a little late on the hellfire.
Hard to get good help in hell.
Yeah, right. That it is. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:37. I don't know why that music is happening.
Because it's February 2nd, kids, and that's everybody's favorite Groundhog Day holiday.
Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, ooh, Groundhog Day. Yeah, winter predictions are going to happen.
Don't have time for this.
Punxsutawney.
Really don't have time for this.
Groundhog Day, outside my window.
I wish we had time for this.
Groundhog Day, behind a tree.
I just feel like we should.
We wait for Punxsutawney.
Phil.
Is it his shadow that he will see? And it's Groundhog Day, outside my window plane.
Groundhog Day is so dumb. And it's been going on for like 150 years. We go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and a bunch of guys in top hats pull a groundhog out of a log or something, Kevin?
I don't know. Why does this happen? Who came up with this?
He sees his shadow or he doesn't see his shadow, and then there is more winter or there's not more winter. And
that's my favorite part, is no one can remember what Groundhog's Day is. Like, did
Groundhog,
you see
Groundhog
his
Day.
Shadow? You don't see his shadow?
Right.
Does it mean spring? Does it mean winter? No one knows, because it's dumb.
We have some coverage from this year's event, but real quick before we get to that, our man Lightning is in the studio. Hey, Light, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, and Light, for a long time, was the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, and for some reason, and Ali brought this up yesterday, and we were trying to remember the details, Light, you would know. For some reason, did we or did we not broadcast from the Los Angeles Zoo on a February 2nd back in the 90s and have you dressed up as a groundhog?
So, yes, that happened. The year was 1993. We had news cameras out there. I think we had, like, Channel 2 and 4 or something out there. And we are such a cheap station, we couldn't afford a groundhog to go on a hunt to actually find a groundhog costume. So I found a bear, and I taped the ears down.
Yeah.
It looked similar. It was brown.
By the way, that's still how we roll.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Now, and where did we put you in the zoo? Were we able to put you in with the zoo's groundhogs?
No. It was some kind of, like, rocky terrain with there were some other animals. And
This was the jankiest celebration of all time.
Super janky. Yeah, and I missed my cue because I couldn't hear you guys because our engineering department screwed things up.
That happened too.
So they're like,
well,
are we going to see the groundhog? And someone had to run back there and, like, push me up through this hole in these rocks. And I was like, here I am. And Kevin's like, I guess there's a shadow. Is there not a shadow? It was a disaster.
Yeah. I bet that was great radio, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet it was. All right. So, Kevin, I have not seen or heard this morning's coverage.
Yes.
You got it for us.
This is the streaming of the actual event. So it's not a news report. This is the guy
The live stream. Uh-huh. Oh, no.
The guy that's standing there with a mic. And he's all dressed up, and the crowd is all there waiting to see Punxsutawney Phil for Groundhog's Day.
Oh, no.
Groundhog.
And he's not. He starts with,
who wants winter? Who wants spring? I don't know. Spring's winning out, but we'll see what happens.
By the way,
he sounds like somebody say hey.
He sounds like lightning killing time at a K-Rock event.
Yeah, it doesn't unfold quickly, Bean, if that's what you're saying. All right, so now he's got the crowd's reaction, and now...
Are my handlers ready? Okay. AJ, we need to unlock the...
I can't remember what it is.
he's got keys.
Got keys. Phil!
Phil! They're chanting Phil!
Okay, one, two, three. Handlers, get Punxsutawney Phil out.
Sounds as bad as our broadcast.
Hi, Sam.
Oh, no.
Oh,
dear.
This guy's a great ad-libber, yeah. Right?
I can't even believe
this.
Yep. I mean, this is a job once a year for 5 minutes. They can't find anyone better to do it than this guy?
And you can hear drunk people in the background. I'm not sure it comes through on this piece of tape. You can hear drunk people in the background go, "We love you, Phil."
This sounds like a beer mug red carpet.
It does.
It does. Yeah.
And it continues.
I see teeth. Oh.
By the way, Phil not coming out.
Come on, boys. We need something.
Come on, buddy.
He's squealing. He's hollering. Phil.
Now, I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about groundhogs, but do they respond to their name?
They love it when you chant
Phil!
Their name and yell, "Come on, buddy.
Come on, Phil."
Yeah, they love it.
We love you.
Phil is feisty. Oh, hang on, guys. Hang on.
Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Punxsutawney Phil.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, we love you, Phil.
You get the feeling that every one of these people has been drinking all night.
I hope so.
I bet it's like New Year's Eve in Times Square, where people show up 8 hours before the thing happens to get a good spot, and they just have to drink because they're out there and it's cold.
But
and
why would they do that for this?
I don't know why people show up for a lot of things. And I also, now that I hear how reluctant Phil is to come out of his
Phil
crate,
hates these people.
It reminds me of the Dog's Purpose situation where they're trying to get that poor dog in the water.
Not that bad.
No, but I'm just saying, I can't believe that there aren't animal activists already protesting Phil being you know, abused like this.
I'm not sure it's abuse.
They're chanting his name and saying, "Come on, buddy."
Sounds to me like he's not having a good time.
They're not poking him with a spear. Yeah, you know, what are you talking about? Why do you have to add something negative to everything? It's not like they have a taser.
I said I'm surprised that animal activists are not against this yet. That's not out of the realm of possibility, by the way.
Stumbled on something. The taser would work, right?
Yeah. Taser would work.
You'd jump right up.
All right, so what happens?
It don't look good, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay.
What's this happening? His powers of description are unmatched.
Right?
Right. Bring it to life, man.
There's just nothing happening.
Okay, big guy. Come on. Look at me. Phil!
Get the taser.
Phil!
Now he's upset that Phil's not looking at him.
It's Phil. Why are you a dick?
Does Phil have to look at him?
What's happening?
And does it help to yell Phil?
Okay, big guy. Come on. Look at me. Phil.
Look.
Phil.
Look.
Phil.
If there's one thing I know about animals, it's that if you scream at them, they're likely to come toward you.
God damn it, Phil.
What do you mean you don't like it? What do you mean? What?
Somebody said they don't like it.
Okay, we got her. Ladies and gentlemen, he has made his prediction.
Yeah, you know what he didn't do? He didn't make a prediction.
He sure didn't.
Come on, we'll do it right here. I'll hold it for you. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye.
All right, now he reads a formal statement.
A proclamation from Phil.
Now this second day of February, 2017... The 131st annual trek of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club.
Are you kidding me? 131 years in a row. Yeah.
And especially to hear how awful this ceremony is.
Right?
Why does anybody ever come back the next year?
Before one of the largest crowds in the history of the Groundhog Day.
Not according to the FBI and the CIA. They say there were many fewer people than before.
Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of all prognosticators, was awakened from his brogue to the cheers of his thousands of faithful followers. In Groundhog Ease, he directed the president and the inner circle to his prediction scroll, which reads, "At Gobbler's Knob on Groundhog Day, we celebrate a worldwide holiday. It's mighty cold weather you've been braving, Is it winter or is it summer you're craving?
Just tell us!
Since we've been up all night and starting to toddle, I, Punksy Phil, shall not dawdle. My faithful followers,
oh, God.
I clearly see a perfect, clear shadow of me.
Okay, oh, so no. What does that mean?
6 more weeks of winter, it shall be.
Everybody boo.
Oh, no! Boo.
Kill Phil! Kill Phil! Kill
he
Phil.
Is broken!
Kill Phil! Kill Phil!
Oh. I'm sorry.
They turned on Phil.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
That's it. That's what happened. That's what this day is based on for yep. 131 years.
It sure is.
Oh, Groundhog Day is the best.
Groundhog.
This tweet came in from Casey Wilson. Says, I can't believe that of all the weird thing Bean loves, he hates Groundhog's Day. Groundhog's Day, right?
Groundhog.
Look. This really is your wheelhouse.
I used to be... It's too dumb, you guys.
As opposed to the giant walnut made of cement or whatever it is that you love, or all the other dumb things that you
the
love.
The world's largest ball of twine.
Or the presidential wax museum. I mean, where do you draw the line? It's too dumb.
I draw the line on Groundhog Day. I guess I just turned
this is
on
all it. You. It's an animal. It's cute. It's perfect.
I turned
it's
on
pointless.
It.
It's inane.
It is all of those things. I can't explain. It's dumb and I hate it and I want it to stop always. I'm sorry. I apologize, Casey. I hate to disappoint you there. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat, and then an all-new Bean's Death Corner. Matt Money Smith live from Houston talking Super Bowl. That's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Dumber than 1/7 Christmas?
Right? Yes, it is. It is. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Stop it.
You're a conundrum wrapped in a riddle dipped in douche.
I never heard it that way before.
That's the original. Oh. That's the original Latin translation. And by the way, why can't it be Groundhog's Day? It belongs to the groundhog. It's his day, right? It's his big day.
It's just because it just isn't. Why are any words what they are? They just are.
Is it St. Valentine's Day?
No, it's not. It's just...
Is it St. Patrick's Day?
Did you hear the
Good
guy...
Point.
On the stage with the groundhog, calling it Groundhog Day because that's the name of it. It has an official name, and it's groundhog. Look, I don't have a preference either way. It's just one is right and one is wrong.
Bean has to draw the line when you add an S.
Thank God he's there fighting the good fight.
You go straight to hell, daylight savings.
I don't care which one they decide, but when they decide on one, that's what it's called. That's the name of it.
Right. Most of us don't care about the day, and we also don't care about the name.
But it certainly doesn't affect the day in any way to call it Groundhog's Day.
Well,
it's a very clear. People know exactly what you're talking about when you say that. There's no change at all.
But it does
in the
make
impact.
The people who say it incorrectly look a little dumb.
It just doesn't. Only to
not
you,
even at all.
You're the only person that thinks that makes them look dumb.
All right, glad we cleared that up.
Asshole.
Hey, tonight? No, not at all. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage. To dance for you like trained monkeys.
You guys dance?
No.
We're going to bring you Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We have a really good time when we do this show. I think you might enjoy it. Come on out. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Click on the Hollywood location and get your tickets for tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Me and Kevin Smith, writer-director, pal of mine, doing Hollywood Babylon. Love to see you come out and join us.
Never heard of that.
Jessica Alba. Jessica Alba.
Yes.
Jessica Alba.
All good?
It's good to be her dad. That's what I'm thinking.
Not as good as it is to be her husband.
She just splurged. Just got herself a little property, a little something-something. Little nice little pad, little shack in Beverly Hills for $10 million. She just dropped $10 million on a new house. And she needed a real estate agent to close the deal, right?
Right.
Now, she didn't really. I mean, she could have paid cash, or I'm sure she could have worked it out. But she hired her dad as her real estate agent. And so because he was part of the transaction, he will pull in a cool $250,000 for his work in the transaction.
Nice.
It's nice to throw dad a bone like that,
right?
That is
pretty cool.
$250K for just signing some papers. Apparently, the new place has 7 bedrooms. 8.5 bathrooms, a pool, a guest house, and almost 9,000 square feet to spread out. So,
wow,
it's good to be Jessica Alba and sell her baby lotion, whatever it is she's doing these days. Doesn't she have that friendly company or whatever the hell it's
Honor
called?
Company. Honor Company. Yeah, Honest. Yeah. Sure.
You sound as if you doubt her honesty, Allie.
No, I thought it was Honor. Oh. Honest, whatever. Who cares?
Right?
Good for her.
Buzz Aldrin. Creepy astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
American hero.
And Bill Nye, the science guy.
Oh, American hero.
Made their debuts on the catwalk this week.
What? I'm sorry?
You heard me.
What? I'm sorry?
They were both part of the Nick Graham Fall 2017 fashion show in New York, New York Men's Fashion Week this week.
Are you kidding? I'm all in on that.
That's what I'm saying.
Buzz Aldrin on a walking? That's crazy.
Yes.
I'm in.
Buzz and Bill.
Looking all sexy.
Both modeled outer space-inspired outfits on the catwalk on the show Monday night. The show was themed Life on Mars, and so Bill was out there strutting his stuff in a Saturn print suit with Saturn over it, and Buzz closed the show in a shiny metallic bomber jacket paired with matching sneakers and just a thong.
Oh,
just a thong.
No.
Sorry, kidding. Got your attention, though.
That's pretty strong.
Wow.
So
that's the first fashion show I ever wished I was at.
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin is so gangster.
Buzz said that walking the runway was as easy as walking on the moon. Oh, Buzz. Clever bon mot, bat.
I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah, easy as walking on the moon. Look at my thong, he said backstage. Silence!
Silence!
Would you like to touch my moon rocks? He said to the models backstage. And that was to Bill Nye, which
right?
was very, very
That's
uncomfortable.
Odd.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on today, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. The dog himself, Dwayne Dog Chapman. Bounty hunter extraordinaire. He's 64 years old today. Singer Shakira turns 40. And actress Gemma Arterton, she was a Bond girl initially. She's been in a ton of stuff. She is a lovely and talented. Gemma Arterton is her name. She's 31 years old today. I wonder how someone else might say her name. I wonder what that would be like.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, names are hard.
I mean,
right?
That's a good first impression right there.
Speaking is hard.
Yeah, what'd you do it now? Let's
Gemma Arterton. Close enough for me. I'm putting that right in the win category.
Oh, it must be so wonderful when your bar is so low that counts as a win.
It does.
Oh,
I'm happy right
imagine
now.
Imagine the rest of us had that option.
Nailed it. Oh.
We would be champions at everything. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday means we check in with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up later on the program today. And we're going to want to talk to you next hour if you are part of the hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are making a living on a webcam.
That's
a multi-million dollar industry.
That's Bean's new plan.
Well, I don't know if it's for me.
Yep.
But there are a lot of people who have figured out a way to just sit at home and make their own hours and just turn on a camera and get rich. So we want to talk to you next hour coming up on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's been a while, but it's time for an all-new Bean Stuff Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
It's been a little slow in the death corner lately.
Boy, you must be bummed.
It occurred to me this week when I saw the guy who got killed by the tiger. I said, you know what? We just got to get back to it because this man has to be celebrated. If you didn't see this story, I'm going to advise you to not watch the video.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I really want you to watch the video, so
no.
I'm saying don't watch?
Well, look, you know what your tolerance for watching a man being ripped apart by a tiger is?
Yes.
Mine is none.
Mine's none as well.
Mine is none. Yeah. I don't want you to gloss over the first sentence in this newspaper article.
All right.
Pay attention to every word in it.
All right.
A man has died following an hour-long tiger attack at a Chinese wildlife park after he reportedly entered the animal's enclosure.
That tiger was just toying with him.
An hour.
He could have killed him in a second.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
The tiger unfortunately ended up being shot dead. The zoo was evacuated as a result of the incident. It happened in the Yongor Wildlife Park in Ningbo, eastern China, on Sunday. It is reported that the man was trying to enter the park without having to pay the zoo admission. How do you think that worked out for him?
So the tiger didn't have to pay.
So all of the animals are just free roaming?
It sounds like it says it's a wildlife park. I don't know if this is one of those parks where you're supposed to drive through, or maybe that's what it is.
Oof. Yeah, because here's my point. If he got out of the car, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And you don't shoot the tiger.
Yeah. Well, they always shoot animals once they kill people because, for whatever reason, they think, they got the taste of blood. But, I mean, aren't tigers born with the taste of blood? I mean, that's what tigers do. Multiple graphic recordings of the horrific attack have surfaced online. Some of the footage shows one tiger latching onto the man while several other tigers just stand by and watch.
We got next.
The rescue effort reportedly took more than an hour. Park staff at first tried to use firecrackers and a water cannon to scare off the animals, but the assailant tiger continued his mauling attack by dragging the man away from the crowd. Look, I don't know how you feel about karma, but I do feel like it's on you if you jump in with the tigers.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I feel like you're kind of...
You're an idiot.
What about all the people videotaping it? What's going through your head?
It needs to be videotaped. I mean, Instagram is what's going through your head.
I mean, I hear you, Allie, but what else can they... They can't do anything to help the man.
Yeah, if that's happening, I'm not running over to the tiger and trying to stand up for the guy.
Are you whipping out your camera?
Yeah.
You are. Oh.
But, Kevin, you already said you wouldn't watch this video online, so why would you shoot this video?
Because if it's happening right in front of me,
that's what you do.
You don't have a choice.
Mark Baumer is in the news. He was actually a little bit famous in some circles as an award-winning poet, and he decided that he was going to walk barefoot across the United States to raise awareness about climate change. That was his issue. He started in New York, and he started in October in New York and made his way as far as Ohio before the weather started getting so bad, snow started happening, that he decided to reroute himself, and he went south. He was in Florida a couple of Saturdays
ago. That's a mistake right there.
Well, he went way south.
What the
hell? He went way south.
He decided just wandering around aimlessly.
Go down to Florida. I mean, the guy was not in a hurry.
Right.
Go down to Florida, and then I think his plan was to walk across the southern United States and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California, and that was how he was going to do it to get out of the bad weather.
And that brings attention to climate change how?
Great question, Kevin, because you're walking across barefoot, that's just you. That doesn't have anything to do with me.
Right.
So a couple of Saturdays ago, he sat down and he wrote this. It began to rain, so I sat on a bench and I watched the rain. My dad called. We talked about trying to find hope in a system where the only safety net will be wealth. Part of me wanted to curl up and wait for my brain to melt, but instead, I began walking in the rain. With each footstep, I felt more angry and helpless. Hours later, he was hit by a car and killed on his walk across America.
Didn't see that coming.
So, in a way, he certainly did. So, in a way, did he raise awareness about climate change? I mean,
no.
At least we're talking about it.
He raised awareness about not walking on a road where a car's going to hit you.
Yes. This was not his plan.
Come
this is not
on
what
now.
He was hoping for.
It's ridiculous.
Here's a terrible tragic. There's no comedy in this story, but it is ironic. In one tragedy on top of another, a Missouri teen was seriously injured in a head-on crash. When his parents heard about the crash and left their home to see him in the hospital, they were involved in a head-on collision, killing both of them.
Holy crap.
And the couple in the car coming from the opposite direction.
Oh.
What are you trying to bring us down?
I'm just saying this
Being
is what
Death Corner is supposed to be funny.
Really?
Yes.
This is. Can you imagine what it's like for poor Chris Hayes? He's in the hospital. Oh, my God, you were in a terrible accident, but at least you're going to be okay, and your parents are on the way. Ooh, not so much with your parents being on the way. I mean, that's a rough deal right there, right? And finally, this is another one that you could write up for karma. I don't know. This is an Italian veterinarian. And this guy is a little bit of a surprise because if you're a veterinarian, don't you partly go into that business because you have some love for animals?
I would think they all do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, he's a veterinarian in Italy, and he became somewhat famous as a big game hunter. And there are a lot of people. I mean, he was getting death threats. He kept going big game hunting and posting pictures of him on Instagram. He killed lions. He killed wild boar. He killed deer. It hurt his practice. There were people who would not go to him as a veterinarian because he killed so many animals. And he said, look, I'm being criticized by people who don't know me. I've always loved my veterinary work. I've always loved animals, but I also love to hunt, and I will carry on hunting until the law changes. It is legal, and nobody can stop me. Except for the fact that he slipped and fell off a mountain while he was hunting birds in the hills in Italy and fell into a 100-foot ravine and was killed. So he died hunting the thing that so many people had hated on him for. That's how
he was wrong that no one could stop him.
So apparently the birds were able to stop him. So he gone, and that's this all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
All right, we have tickets for you to Green Day at the Rose Bowl, September 16th. You're going to have to earn them. We're going to play a game next. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you win, you get those tickets, plus you qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. So you call now, and we will play a game for Green Day next.
Now, why do we do this to our listeners, Kevin? Why do we
Because you love your listeners?
This is, no, Omar. No, we don't.
This is us saying, everyone go away.
Right.
That's what this is.
Here's the deal. Green Day at the Rose Bowl, September 16th. It's the final date of their North American tour. You get a chance to see them there and also qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia for K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 1. Unfortunately, standing between you and the show is a little game that we like to call Omaroki.
As a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
So there it is. Omar's going to sing a Green Day song. All you have to do is identify it by title. Now, Omar, I feel like in the past you've never heard any of these songs before, but with Green Day, you have to at least know what they sound like. You know the melody, don't you?
I do. I'm going to rock these, rock them really hard.
But Bean, you're mistaking the fact that he can have heard them and know them and recreate it. That's not necessarily.
Yeah, they sound
that
identical.
Hasn't been the case. All right,
exactly. Looks like the case.
Let's find out who's our first contestant.
All right, first up is Lexine in Whittier. Hi there.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for Omaroki? We apologize in advance.
No problem. I'm ready.
Name this Green Day song.
Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alienation, where everything isn't meant to be okay. Television dreams of tomorrow. We're not the ones who meant to follow.
That's enough
to argue.
That's plenty. That's enough. Lexine, if that, like that's really a name. What song is that, please?
That's going to be American Idiot.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
No comparison whatsoever.
I know, mine is so good, right? So much better. Thank you, Bean.
Anything like Green Day.
Man, so complimentary.
Kim in Anaheim. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you?
We are good.
Ready for your song?
Good luck.
My eyes feel like they're gonna bleed. Dried up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry. My face is numb. Effed up and spun out in my room. On my owl, here we go.
Okay, all right, fine.
Kim?
Brain stew?
What's that? Brain stew, yes.
Brain stew?
Yeah. Like
gonna all right, bleed. Against all odds, 2 for 2 so far in Omaroki. Who's next?
Next is Luigi in San Gabriel.
Luigi.
Hey, and he's a plumber. That's awesome.
You are not a plumber.
Do you have a brother named Mario?
I am.
That's awesome.
That's the best.
I have no brothers.
Can you imagine being named Luigi your whole life and everybody makes that same joke every day of your life?
He's so excited that Omar asked him about his brother Mario, that's for sure.
All right, Luigi, here's your song. Good luck.
My shadow's the only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart's the only things that's beating.
Ouch.
Sometimes I wish someone out there would find me till I walk alone.
I wish you were walking alone.
No.
All right, Luigi, what song is that, please?
That Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Nicely done.
All right, look, we can hate Omar all we want, but 3 for 3 so far.
That's right.
Next is Patrick in Fullerton. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. How are you doing?
It says here, Patrick, you're a musician, so this entire segment must be offensive to you on every level.
That's all right.
Thanks, Patrick.
Everything's offensive, right?
Right. That's a good point.
Here we go.
Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars.
Wake me up.
Hey, let me finish.
Yes. No, don't let it finish. Yes. Thank you, Patrick. You are correct.
The rain again.
No, you have to sing along.
Very sensitive.
All right. Let's go to Travis in Long Beach. Hi, Travis.
Hi.
We apologize in advance for Omaroki, but good luck. Here we go. Hear the dogs howling out of key. Do a hymn called Faith and Misery. And bleed, the company lost the war today.
It sounds nothing like their song.
You've never heard that song.
Oh, man, you guys are, I don't know what you guys are listening to. Good.
Travis?
That's Holiday.
That is Holiday. Unbelievable. Not sure how you got that.
Oh, man.
Hey, can I vote for just one more? Can I say that?
Because it's painful?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Jason in Los Angeles. Hi.
More like Boulevard of Bleeding Ears.
Smackdown.
Boom.
I'd say we let him in just for that. All right, you hold on, Jason. Lexi, or Kim, Luigi, Patrick, Travis, and Jason, all in the running. Who's going to win the tickets for the Rose Bowl show with Green Day September 16th and be qualified to see them in Sydney, Australia with round trip airfare, hotel, spending cash, and the like? Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner's Luigi.
Luigi. Yay. Thank God. Congratulations, Luigi.
Say hi to Mario.
You got those tickets. Thanks for playing the game.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Very excited about this, Allie. I know you are, too. We've been looking forward to this all day long.
It's huge. It's huge news. Everything about this is the best.
You guys think you know everything about me. You just don't. You don't know who I am.
I don't,
You haven't lived my life. You don't pour my cereal.
These repressed memories are coming from. Like if you fell and all of a sudden you're just getting flooded with memories.
Look.
You don't pour my cereal.
It's just a way of saying you're not me. You're not me. You don't know me. You don't know me.
That's an expression.
I don't know.
You don't pour my cereal?
I feel like I've heard that somewhere. No, there's a lot of stuff you guys don't know about me. There's a lot of stuff I don't know about me. But there are times when something will spur a memory in my head.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I go, oh, yeah, I forgot. I was kicked off Romper Room.
All right, so here's
when I was a kid.
What happened. Here's what happened. A few days ago, Ralph was doing a story in the Showbiz Beat that Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter, is interested in going into acting. And we had to do a larger conversation about how healthy that is for people to be child actors and whatnot. And so out of the blue, Kevin's like, oh, yeah, I used to be on a TV show. And we were like, wait, what?
And look how well-adjusted I am.
And it turns out... And you were on Romper Room?
Yes, I was on Romper Room. I had to check with my mom because I couldn't remember,
mm-hmm.
Of course. I was on Romper Room,
uh-huh.
And I got kicked off. And she also texted me that she was mortified.
Oh, how do you get kicked off Romper Room?
Look, refresh my memory on that show. Is Romper Room a show where a bunch of little kids just play in front of the camera for an hour?
Honestly, I wasn't on it that long, so I don't know. They had one of those inflatable punching toys. It's like 4 feet tall. It's sort of in the shape of a person. You punch it, but it's got the weight on the bottom of it, so it goes down to the carpet, and then comes back up in place.
Okay.
So apparently I was just punching it and punching it and punching it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. And then... The woman,
because you love to hit things and people. That's
then,
why.
Then there was a woman there. I remember that she was like the producer or something. She's like, you have to stop doing that. And I did it again. So she
let me hear a little of that Romper Room theme. Would you mind? Do we have that?
Bing bong bong bong, hey daddy do. Bing bong tick tock, fee-ba boo.
Now was there a host that you interact with? Did you play games like in competition?
I got
you remember
thrown
anything?
Off of the show.
That's all you remember about it.
I mean, I remember that I was like, five or six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's never too early to be a dick, right?
That's your motto. All right. Well, let's walk into the show, and this might be a surprise to Kevin, the person who actually did pour Kevin's cereal. Kevin's mom, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Kevin Detroit K-Rock. Hello, Mrs. Kevin's mom. How are you?
Indeed, Mrs.
Well, I didn't
Kevin's
know what to
mom.
Call you. I'm sorry.
That is not my name.
No, I know it's not.
My name is Mrs. Ryder.
Mrs. Ryder, okay.
And I am Lammy's mommy.
Right. Okay. All right. So thank you for coming on.
Mom, I'd rather you didn't call me Lammy.
I could call you what
okay.
you want. You
can.
Came out of my vagina.
You can.
Oh, wow.
Oh, everyone's surprised how birth works. everyone make a noise because someone was born.
Well, you just don't want to hear someone's mom saying the vagina word. That's
oh, okay.
All.
I'll protect your little special ears then, okay?
Wow, your mom's a little aggressive, Kevin.
So you have to help us out with the filling in the memory here.
What do you want?
I said you have to help us out with filling in this memory because Kevin only remembers a little bit about his time on Romper Room. What really happened, Mrs. Ryder?
I took Kevin to Romper Room because he was a very talented child.
Thank you, Mom.
Yes, and I said he should be in show business.
Right?
He should be in some sort of show business that does not involve the talking so much with the mouth.
Right.
But, and Romper Room was perfect because it was like, oh, cute kids, and they run around and do be a doobie and don't be a dumpy. And there's I see Billy, the magic mirror. I said, this was good for Kevin because it's like a special program.
I don't think
special kids.
I don't think it was for special kids. I think it was. Okay.
Trust me on this one.
Right, so this was a good opportunity for you to get him out of your hair for an hour a day, too.
Yeah, so maybe they could beat some sense into him.
All right, good.
And so I take him to the television station.
Television station, right?
What?
The television
station.
Go on,
go on.
Well, I just said that.
Okay,
I apologize. This is Kevin's mom.
And so I take him to the television station, and they put him in the front room, and he starts beating up on the toys.
Yeah, right. He's punching the toys.
And I said, don't you have some sort of tranquilizer dart or something that you can give him so he can be on the show? They said, no. They said, look through the magic mirror. I see Billy, I see Janie, and I see an asshole.
Mom!
And I got so upset with them. Oh. I said, that is it. I am going to leave him here for another couple hours, and that'll teach you. And they said, no, you won't. And so they said, he has to come back to your home. And I said, oh, really? And so we put the leash on him, and we took him back, and we put him.
I don't remember a leash, Mom.
There was a leash. Trust me, okay. And because you would run away otherwise.
All right.
Yeah. We had one of those harnesses that you put on, like a feral cat.
Of course, yes.
Or some sort of wild animal. And we put it on you so that you couldn't, you know, bite the other children or run away.
Just sounds safe, yeah.
And so then we put him in the back of the station wagon, and we put his helmet on, and we
Come on. He had a helmet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big helmet. He had to have a big head. He has a big head.
Huge head. Huge head.
Oh, you talk about pain.
We don't need to get back to that, if you don't mind. I'd rather not.
And then I took him home, and he said, Mom, you pour my cereal. And I said, I'll do better than that. I'll pour your orange juice.
Oh, no.
I like orange juice.
He loved orange juice.
Thank you.
Grape juice?
No, he didn't like grape juice.
Tomato juice?
No, he didn't like tomato juice.
Orange juice.
And then he spit the orange juice all over the place.
That sounds about right.
I put the leash back on. You should see what he does with strawberry ice cream.
Oh, no. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
I got bad news for you guys. I'm at the UrbanDictionary.com.
Yeah?
You don't pour my cereal is an expression.
Boom!
It means you don't know me, you don't know what I do, you haven't lived my life, you don't know my struggles, nor my trials, nor my tribulations. So where did Kevin come up with you don't pour my cereal?
We don't know Kevin's trials or tribulations, that's for sure.
Suck it, Ralph!
I think we do know his trials and tribulations.
Yes, we very much know them painfully every day.
Huh, that's right. How about that?
So where do you suppose you heard that expression?
Where do you think you came up with that?
You don't pour my cereal, he said.
And it's right, though. Look, here's the thing. I can only assume. You know when you were a kid and you had a piggy bank that was full of coins?
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, if you turned it upside down, if you're desperate and you shook the piggy bank,
every once in a while,
mm-hmm. like a quarter would drop out.
Right.
But you would have to shake and shake and shake and shake, and then eventually you get a coin.
Yeah.
That's probably how Kevin's brain works.
A lot of shaking.
A lot of shaking, and then once in a while, like a fact will come out or something that's real,
like
that's actually said.
Like once a month.
Yeah.
Nope. Ellie looked at me like once a month, really?
Ish.
Hey, we've had a change in the lineup. We were going to talk to our good friend Matt Money Smith live from Houston about the Super Bowl, but instead we'll be talking to Joe Buck coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Glad to see Donald Trump back in the news. President Donald Trump taking his opportunity at the National Prayer Breakfast to once again address some real issues that this country needs praying for, and I think he knows that he's got a large evangelical base backing him, and he wanted to reach out to those people and have them pray for things that matters. He was introduced at the National Prayer Breakfast this morning by executive producer of The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice Mark Burnett and his wife Roma Downey. They had some free time while they're waiting for the rapture, so they had a chance to come by and do him a favor and introduce him. And he got up, and he finally addressed some issues that I think all of America needed to be addressed. His replacement on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Wait, you were talking about the National Prayer Breakfast.
Yes. He took that opportunity
to talk about Celebrity Apprentice?
Talk about Celebrity Apprentice. Here's what he said. When I ran for president, I knew I had to leave the show. That's when I knew for sure I was doing it. And they hired a big, big movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to take my place. And we know how that turned out. Ratings went right down the tubes. It's been a total disaster. And Mark will never, ever bet against Trump again. And I just want to pray for Arnold, if we can, for those ratings.
Oh, my God.
So he took the opportunity to bust Schwarzenegger's balls at the beginning of the National Prayer Breakfast.
Nice to win. Do we agree? It's been a while. Nice to win.
Because he's a man of great maturity, and he really, I think he's grown into the role of president. He's become quite the eloquent spokesperson for our country. What a colossal douchebag. Is it out of the realm of possibility that he's mentally ill?
Absolutely.
Is Donald Trump an intellectual? Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
How insecure is this guy that at the National Prayer Breakfast, he's got to take a shot at Arnold Schwarzenegger because now he's hosting that show? Why does he give a rat's ass at this point?
I don't know why that would be in his mind at all with the problems
at all
facing the country. He would even be thinking about NBC's primetime lineup.
Hmm.
It's baffling. A spokesperson for Arnold Schwarzenegger released the following statement, according to ABC News. Arnold is praying that President Trump can start improving his own approval ratings, which were the worst in history for an incoming president, by taking his job seriously and working inclusively. Then Arnold himself took to social media.
All right.
Now it's a full-on beef. Now we got a beef between the governor and the president.
I love it.
Here is what Arnold Schwarzenegger had to say.
Hey, Donald, I have a great idea. Why don't we switch jobs? You take over TV because you're such an expert in ratings, and I take over your job, and then people can finally sleep comfortably again.
Hmm? Oh, shit, here we go. It's on!
I don't think
it's a race war.
Per se. Who wouldn't take that trade straight up now, by the way? Do you ever think in a million years?
No.
You'd say, oh, I wish Arnold Schwarzenegger was president.
Nope. Give me the foreigner. Nope.
I would take that swap straight up right now. Crazy
times.
I
don't want that.
Yeah, of course you don't want that.
13 days it's been now.
It's crazy.
13 days.
It has been 13
It's been 13 days.
It is.
Right?
Special. Hey, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., come see me and my buddy Kevin Smith, the writer and director and rock on tour, do Hollywood Babylon. For Kevin has to split up north again to Vancouver. He's doing another Supergirl. He's going to direct another Supergirl episode.
All right.
So we're doing a little babble before he leaves. It is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to have you come join us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do.
Well, I don't remember.
That's true.
I don't remember Nazi Germany having a Hollywood Babylon. Maybe they had like
fake news.
Maybe they had a Berlin Babylon or something.
A complete and total disaster.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christie Brinkley, right?
Love.
Christie Brinkley. She was the focus of a lot of our attention at one point in our lives. Right?
Yeah.
Remember National Lampoon's Vacation?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
or in that convertible, mm-hmm. and then by the pool, Chevy Chase eating a sandwich.
Yep.
She's still so pretty, too.
She's stunning. Stunning.
She was a... you guys didn't watch Parks and Rec, I don't think, but she had a recurring role as one of the characters' wives on that show, and that was the joke, is that he was a big doughy guy, and he had this gorgeous supermodel at home as the wife, and she was just... She was very funny on it.
63 years old today. Dwayne the Dog Chapman, bounty hunter extraordinaire. He is 64 years old. Shakira is 40 years old today. You know who told me she's 40? I know she's absolutely 40.
Who?
Her hips told me that she was 40. Mm-hmm. And here's the one thing I know about her hips.
Put in the file already.
They don't lie. Yeah! They're very honest. So that's how I know she really is 40 years old today. A lot of women would hide that, but... And actress Gemma Arterton. Gemma Arterton. Kevin, her name again?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And her name is Kevin?
Gemma Arterton.
Still not close.
I'm just tough.
It, by the way, those
getting worse.
I do not pour your cereal. That's
those
for sure.
moments with are so much worse when the person is in the room with you.
Oh yeah,
that's the worst.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But I think she loved me for it.
Who loved you for it?
Gemma Arterton. Gemma Arterton. Gemma.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We always enjoy it so much when we have our next guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Buck is on the phone, the best-selling author of the Lucky Bastard book. He, of course, is the host of Undeniable with Joe Buck, returning to the Audience Network later this month. And you'll see him in the booth along with Troy Aikman on Fox TV for a little game called Super Bowl LI this Sunday. Joe, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
There's that damn song again.
You love it, right?
No, I do, especially in a game like this. I can't.
Joe, they're going to lower you into the ground to that song. You know that, right?
No, I'm hoping. I need to put that in my will that I go down with that song flaring in the
How
cemetery.
How many Super Bowls have you been fortunate enough to call?
This will be number 5.
And is it still a big deal? Is it still something that is a little special compared to your week-to-week work? Or is it just another game? Or is it really like the pressure's on?
No, the pressure's on. And I for some reason, feel like there's more pressure now than ever. I don't know if it's social media or it feels like there's more eyeballs or more of a critical eye that's pointed our way on that day. But it's intense, you know, when they're counting you down and you're doing that little stupid on-camera part where Troy and I talk that nobody's ever paid any attention to in their home. And we spend all this time, like, trying to block it out, plan it out, talk it out, and then we put this little two-minute play on in front of the world. It's a rush knowing that 120 million people are going to be theoretically watching at least your face, if not listening to what you're saying on their TVs around the country.
How different is it from, say, 2 weeks ago when it's a playoff game but it's not the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I guess it's kind of a mind trick that it should be no different, right? I mean, it's the NFC Championship game. There's, you know, a lot on the line for whoever's in that game. And we were there in Atlanta for the Packers and the Falcons, which feels like a year ago to me.
It sure does. Yeah.
I guess I'm guilty of doing what I lie to people and say I don't do, which is putting more importance on a game like this. But it's just hard with the downtime, with the week here in Houston, with the interviews that I do and doing our own media day and people asking me questions that are not as stupid as the ones that they asked some of the players, but close. and then you show up on Sunday, and it's like this whole week and this whole pomp and circumstance, and all this attention comes down to a football game, and we're the ones that call it. It's hard to avoid the extra stress that comes with that.
Let me ask you this, Joe. You're well known for your tremendous research, and I know you have a large staff that is helping you, feeding you information during the game. But intrinsically, the stuff that's in your mind that you can pull from, you have to know a lot more about the Patriots than you do about the Falcons. Is that something you have to pay attention to and make sure that you really have boned up on Falcons facts, too?
Yeah, no, I think you do. I think you have to spend as much time on one team as the other, and we all know Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and these guys have you know, just had this incredible run that I think you can put it up against really any era in football history, especially now with the salary cap and free agency, to do what they've done. They won their first Super Bowl in 2001. It was the 2002 calendar year, but 2001 season. And now here we are in 2016 season, 2017. That is a huge amount of time that none of the greats had to deal with, the different pressures that Belichick has had to deal with players coming and going. I mean, yes, Lombardi was great. Yes, Halas was great. Don Shula, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, all these other great head coaches. But I think what Belichick has done in this era tops them all. And so we all know all that stuff. And now you have to give the just due to Atlanta and Julio Jones and Matt Ryan's finally on the big stage. And Dan Quinn, their head coach, is a lovable guy. So, yeah, you have to make sure that both sides are covered. And the kind of the funny thing is you almost have to rewind the tape and tell even the most basic story to the nation because you have so many new viewers that are watching this game. You have to kind of start over a little bit.
Many of them waiting for the commercials, which I feel odd.
That's the big drawback of actually calling the game is I won't see any of the commercials. So whatever
you'll be all right.
About, yeah. Yeah. Puffy monkey baby or whatever it is this year, I won't be aware of it.
How about the halftime show? Are you going to be able to enjoy that, or do you have a very busy halftime preparing for the second half?
I don't. I have the chance to enjoy it, and I think I'm just as curious to see, A, how Lady Gaga does, B, what Lady Gaga does, and C, if there's any controversy that could come out of it. I mean, potentially we would have to make a statement or say something in the second half to react off of that.
I feel like what should happen, because you have all the passes that you need, is you should make your way down to the field and just be a dancer with her.
Oh, I like it.
Can you imagine if you see Joe Buck up on the stage like trying to dance with the dancers? That would be the best thing ever.
That's all I want.
In my suit. Yeah, I think that'd be a good look. It would also be the end of my career.
It took a long time for the Super Bowl halftime people to allow another attractive woman to do the halftime show. It took years of old guys doing the show like Springsteen and Petty because of what happened with Janet Jackson. So this is the first time in a long time they put somebody up there who, you know, you got to be worried about.
And that happened here in Houston
in
2003.
Who
and
won
the Patriots
that Super
were
Bowl?
Part of that game.
I'm sorry, Ellie.
Who won that Super Bowl?
Who won
on
that
a kick
New
by
England.
Vinatieri?
New England. Oh.
I remember.
We got a Patriots fan. All right, let me ask you one more thing, Joe. And I know you've been asked a lot about the prop bets, and I don't want to bore you with that. And for folks who don't know, you can bet on a lot of things in the game, including what the announcers are going to say. But I do want to ask you about one of them. Have you already decided that Houston, we have a problem, is off the table, or is that something we may see if it ends up being a blowout early in the game?
Well, you know me. I'm Mr. Low-Hanging Fruit. So,
so it's available.
I will clench onto that saying and throw it out there. If it's 28-0 in the second quarter, we all have a problem.
That'll be the best thing ever.
I don't blame you, man. I say go for it. I mean, how often do you get the opportunity to do it? Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to limit the cheese factor in some of this stuff. I mean, there's prop bets on me saying Matty Ice, on me saying Aaron Hernandez. And I mean, like, I'm going to dive into talking about a double homicide. Or
yeah,
whatever
skip
the hell
that.
It was.
Yeah, that's not a party.
You can't go down those paths. There's no time for any of that stuff. So,
so recapping, Houston, we have a problem, and you're going to dance with Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
Right, yes, and the rest of it is irrelevant.
Hey, will you have any? Will you have the opportunity to have any guests in the studio at all during the game? Like, you know, President George H.W. Bush is going to be there. Will you get to talk to him? Is there anyone else you know of that you might have a minute with?
No, I think that's a turnoff. No matter who it is, I think people just want to watch the game, especially now. You know, we're all bombarded with one bad headline after another and people yelling at each other on TV. And I think people tune in this game as a 3-hour, 4-hour break from all that stuff. So we're not doing any of that.
Well, we're going to be enjoying it on this side of the TV, Joe, and I hope you enjoy it in the booth there with Troy. You guys do a great job in the broadcast booth at Fox. Have a fun Super Bowl. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and check in anytime, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. I want to thank the listeners who have reminded me that we have had some other hotties since Janet Jackson doing the Super Bowl halftime show, including Katy Perry.
Yep.
And Beyonce.
Yep.
And so far, no other boobs have escaped.
So swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss, yeah. Absolutely. You know, a lot of information, and it's not always
right. I don't feel like a Janet Jackson's boob escaped.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just saying, for a long time, they only booked white guys over 60 because they were afraid of that happening again. So it seems like we're now, at least we're past that, and we have the possibility of something like that.
But that just got proven the opposite. You just said it.
No, I'm...
You don't...
What I'm saying is, for a long time, they were booking older classic rock stars because of the blowback from what happened with Janet Jackson. But now we're past that, because the last few years we've had Beyonce and Katy Perry, now Lady Gaga. So it seems like they're relaxed a little bit, which is good news.
All right.
We cool?
We cool.
All right. Ralph, I'm glad you're here, because you brought up an interesting idea for a phone topic the other day. And we're going to take your calls on this, if this applies to you, at 1-800-520-1067. And you were talking about, if I recall correctly, you were talking about the AVN awards that have just been handed out. And you, as an aside, mentioned how tough it is for people who are making professional scripted porn anymore. It has largely been replaced by, as you said, the webcams now. That seems to be the central focus for most porn these days, right?
No. Actually, what I said was, I wonder how these major producers like Vivid and the big boys, the big studios, stay in business. We talked about the parody videos. We talked about parody videos being a major source of focus for them, because they can make funny, well-produced videos that people have interest in because it's a parody of Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever. How that is keeping them – they're trying to do that to stay competitive because of porn websites that show clips for free, as you know, the porn hubs and the X tubes and things like that. And the people –
you can see porn on the internet for free?
Believe it or not.
What?
But then the people who are getting into adult filmmaking – that pool is starting to dry up of new talent, because a lot of people have decided that, as opposed to going down to a set and working with the director and working with a stranger, they can just stay at home and set up a camera and go on a Chatterbait site or one of these other sites where you can they will host
Chatterbait.
They will host
Kevin
your
took a lot of notes today.
Host your camera, and then you can, at the comfort of your own home, become a sex performer with your partner or friend or by yourself, and you can sit back and let the tips roll in, so to speak. So you may not make the assured money that you will make per salary.
Just the tips.
But you will make as much money as you want to. You make your own hours. You go up when you want to. I mean, it has become the new place that someone who wants to get into the sex performing industry goes to, as opposed to the old school route, which was just through adult films.
Yeah, not having to deal with anyone seems like that would be a huge plus.
You're your own boss. It's the Uber of a vagina, really. It's like it's like Uber with a vagina. Instead of going to work for someone else, you get to call the shots, and you drive around, and you just collect all the monies.
How much money are we talking here?
That's a good question, Allie, because I would assume it varies.
Right.
From the type of show that you're putting on.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain elements, certain fetishes, certain showcases that attract more audience. And depends on how good you are, too, because a lot of these performers will say, "For once I reach X number of dollars in tips, or I get X number of coins," they say. I don't think they can translate it to actual cash when they're talking about it. But the next 400 coins that I get, whatever the current digital currency they use on the webcam is,
right,
then X will happen. Then the panties drop.
Or
they actually have sort of a menu that when so much money is achieved, then certain acts will progress. So if you're watching this girl and you get invested, then that is the motivation for you to spend more and more money. So depending on the girl and her audience and how long she's been established and what she's willing to do, it can vary from hundreds of dollars a day to thousands of dollars a day.
I'm going to get in on that.
Kevin, you would have the draw. Look, don't be wrong. I think you're an attractive man.
Thank you, Ralph.
I don't know how much you could earn.
It's worth trying.
We want to take your calls, by the way, if you have done any webcamming or are currently doing it, at 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you this question, Ralph. If there is so much porn available for free, and I just have to take your word for it, I wouldn't know, but you mentioned some sites I hadn't heard of, why would somebody pay to see somebody do the webcamming?
Because it's interaction, right?
What Allie said.
It's interaction.
Yes.
Because it feels more personal.
It's live. Yeah, this is the difference. Why would you go to watch a Laker game versus watching a video of a Laker game from last season?
Okay. All right.
There's an excitement factor that comes with witnessing something that is happening at the time. And as Ali mentioned, also, there is a running. It's like Facebook Live or any live streaming site where you can type in your comments to the performer and they will answer you back either live into the camera if they have their audio up, or they can type back to you. It's very interactive, and it's a way for a lot of the Lonely Bean types to be able to interact with someone who's attractive and sexual, and she's acting like she likes you. It's the stripper phenomenon. It's that vibe that guys get when they say, I think she really likes me.
Strippers do like
me. In this case, I know a lot of people say that. I know a lot of guys say that, but I think this girl really, there's something going on here. There's some connection.
Here's a cam girl named Gaia, I think, G-A-I-A. Is that Gaia? Gia? Monroe. She works in Las Vegas, and here's what she says. She's been camming for about 2.5 years. She says, I started working as a cam model simply because I didn't want to work for other people anymore. I had worked at a restaurant. It was a lot of BS, and I ended up quitting. I never wanted to be a stripper because I like to control who touches me, and I wanted to ensure my own safety. She now works for herself. She says, I can make money in a space where I don't have to deal with a tyrant now. I work with a company called StreamMate. They take a percentage of my check, but even with that, I'm making more money now than I ever did. I genuinely enjoy sharing my body and my sexuality. So it's a perfect fit for her. She cuts out the middleman, like you said, and set her own hours and probably develop her own clientele. I imagine she probably has recurring customers, right, if she's good at what she does.
Absolutely.
And seems like a pretty good deal.
A lot of the girls who do this kind of work do claim that safety is the primary factor for them. It really takes all of the threat out of the equation for them, whether it's abuse at the hands of a tyrannical director on the set of a porn film, or whether it's some grabby, Kevin type customer at a strip club or something.
There are. They love me.
These are elements that you can just you disassociate yourself from. It's if you are a woman who wants to use your sexuality to make money, and I'm not making any judgments here, it allows you to do it in almost complete safety, where you don't have to put up with the usual hazards that come along with that particular job.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You've done this work or you're doing this work. We want to find out what it's like for you. Give us a call. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Got to be honest, not looking for old dudes. Right?
Well, there are a lot of gentlemen on these cam services as well, because gay men make up a large portion of the audience who want to see dudes doing stuff.
And are there women who also pay for webcam male models?
Of course, but that happens as well. It is a small percentage of the audience.
Talking about webcammers here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it is a multi-million dollar industry. It's a chance for people to be in a safe environment, work their own hours, and be their own bosses, and give away a percentage to the company that is making it technically possible, but still, it's apparently a good way to make a living. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you currently do it or have done it in the past. And we'll start with Dylan. He's in Long Beach. He was kind enough to call and hang on. Dylan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're fine. So you heard us talking about this topic and you thought, ooh, I can contribute to that. How?
Well, I did that a long time ago. And when I say a long time ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago. So I was in my late 20s. And it was a lot of fun. It was... It started off just kind of like, just watching it. And I was like, hey, you know what? I could do that.
Was it just you?
It started off as I was talking to my girlfriend about it. And, we like going on vacations and, going out nice places. And we had, a certain budget that we had to work with. So this is a way where we can make a couple $100 in a day and, do that once a week and then go on a nice vacation at the end of the month.
A couple $100 a day is pretty damn good.
Pretty tax-free, too, I imagine, right?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. The weird part about it was after it's all said and done, you want to cash out. Well, I was kind of – it was at that time where I wasn't really too sure about, putting, my personal banking information online or anything like that.
So, right.
So they send you a check when it's all said and done. And I got this check in the mail, and it was one of those goofy checks about a foot long with, 19 different colors on it from the Royal Bank of Canada.
Oh, no, you did it for free? It was a scam?
No. It wasn't a scam. So I took the check to the
Canada
bank.
Kevin thinks Canada's a fake country, apparently.
It sounded like a fake check. It sounded like a fake check.
I'm with Kevin on this one, by the way.
It sounded like a weird check.
It does not sound legitimate yet. So what happens? You take that check to the bank, and what happens?
They go, this is not real.
Was like, oh, that's an interesting check. Where'd you get that? I'm like, well, from a company online. Oh, what do you do online? Oh, just some consulting work. Oh, what kind of consulting work?
Oh, man.
Shut up and give me my money.
All right, but that brings me to my question for you, Dylan, which is, was there ever any concern for you and or your girlfriend about this being revealed to your family and to your friends? Because it seems like it's the type of thing that not everybody would be down with. Were you concerned about somebody coming across you online that you didn't want to?
Yes and no. The thing is, with this particular website, you have the ability to block out an entire country.
Really?
So you could say, you know what, I don't want anyone in America to see me. And that could be counterproductive because I think, you know, America is probably the country that watches the most porn.
Right. You should block out that fake country, Canada, that sends those fake checks to people.
Amen.
So, Dylan, I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. Why did you and your girlfriend decide to stop camming?
We broke up.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, you know.
Should have held auditions for a new partner.
There's only so much you can do by yourself. You know, I tried to keep the solo act going for a bit.
Yeah, no, it's hard.
Again, it was a lot of, interesting fellas out there.
Sure. Yeah. I have heard that it does require a thick skin to do this kind of work.
Okay.
No.
Just the skin.
All right.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean that people can be very mean to you, and they can kind of turn combative if you're not doing exactly what they want. I just wondered if that had happened to you.
Did you get bullied, Dylan?
Your personality. I mean, if you're just sitting there just waiting for people to give you money for nothing, I mean, people do that on the street corner. You know, it's not going to go too well for you.
All right, Dylan, you're a good man. We appreciate you sharing your story with us. Thank you so much.
I think Bean knows more about this than he's letting on.
Right?
He seems to know a lot of details.
All right, Dylan.
I did a little research
about what happens with the audience.
You do good work, buddy. Let's talk to...
I did a little research for the topic.
Let's go to Tina. She's on line one, please. It says here that Tina is currently a webcam girl, so we can find out what the state of the business is in 2017. Tina, thank you so much for calling. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Why are you up this early? A hot girl who's making money on a webcam should still be asleep.
I just actually took my boyfriend to work.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right, are we being charged for this?
It does sound like it, doesn't it? How did you get into it? What was your journey to doing this, Tina?
Actually, one of my good friends was doing it, and she convinced me that she was making a lot of money doing it, so I decided to try it out. Uh-huh. And the first night that I tried it, within the first 2 hours of doing it, I made like $800.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a pretty good day's work.
$800?
Yeah, it's really, the way to make money on it is to not go on it just expecting to get money from people. You know, if you go on and just like have conversations with people and build up a client base, and because like the people that I get the most money from are not people that are so much horny as people that are lonely. Yeah. You know, they come around.
So you're taking off their clothes and they're like, let's just talk.
Exactly. No joke.
So you're spending spend a fair amount of your time just having conversation with people that are lonely.
Most of my time, yeah. Because the thing is like the people that are the most popular on the site that I work on, the people that go on and I think the guys get the most turned on by the idea of somebody that's more of a tease. Like they sit and have conversations with them, and you know, get more known as somebody that's kind of, I don't know, innocent. And then,
right. Was one of the guys that you called, did he talk about, you know, like the post office and Denny's?
All right. This is, again, I, this
just,
isn't
I'm just
about,
asking
this
a question.
About me. This is about Tina
I'm asking
and her
a
story,
question
okay?
Tina.
Tina, so how long have you been doing it, and how long do you plan on doing it?
I've been doing it for like 2 years, and I mean, I don't really see an end in sight. I mean,
right.
I've just been kind of trying to save up money for... Because I want to travel the world, and this is just an awesome way to save up money to do it while I'm young. Because I'm 22, and, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. I've already got a house. I got a Challenger.
I feel like we're going to get a big bill at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Can you do it without showing your face?
Some girls do, yeah. I don't know if they're as successful.
Yeah, there's no money in that.
People are more into the...
the girl's personality, and you kind of lose that with the...
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. The ultimate goal, I think, is to get people invested in you, like in any art form, and that way they get more interested, and then they're willing to pay for your company. Yeah.
Do you feel, Tina, that some of your clients consider that you guys are friends?
We are.
Okay.
I mean, really, these people are...
You consider yourself their friends.
Yes. I mean they're my entire support system, really. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I'd be...
It's true. They're kind of your bosses in a way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You never let them know that in a million years, but...
No, of course not. You're the boss. Get the whip out.
All right, Tina. Well, good luck to you. I'm glad you called, glad you shared. Thanks so much for listening, too, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Hey, don't forget, when it gets to be 9 a.m., start paying close attention, because anytime you hear a Green Day song all day long on K-Rock all the way up till 9 p.m. means it's your cue to call. Be caller 20 whenever Green Day sings on K-Rock, and you win tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl and qualify to see them in Sydney, Australia. Get all the details at KROQ.com for K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017, destination number one. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat, and then Dr. Drew right after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph.
What you doing Friday night at 10 p.m.? I'll tell you what you're doing. Coming to see Kevin Smith and yours truly do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv.
No.
On Melrose.
No.
We do it almost every Friday night. We'd love to have you come out and join us. 10 p.m. It's the late show. And I got to admit, I get drunk. But Kevin gets baked, so there's that. And you'll have a good time. Come on out, see us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
I'll never consider that.
And speaking of tickets, I got some passes to the premiere of the Lego Batman movie.
Yay!
This is all happening Saturday at the Bruin Theater in Westwood. All the stars will be there. Will Arnett, who, of course, is the voice of Batman himself. Zach Galifianakis is playing the Joker. Michael Cera, Robin, the Boy Wonder. Rosario Dawson is Batgirl. Ralph Fiennes is Alfred. It's a great cast. And if you listen carefully while you watch the movie, you might hear another friendly, familiar voice. Just saying. They were kind enough to ask me to do a couple little things in the film, and I had a blast. From what I've seen of the movie, it's going to be outstanding. So I will be there Saturday as well. Come up, say hi. If you'd like to go to the premiere of the Lego Batman movie, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number, we get a pair of passes to the premiere of the Lego Batman movie.
Ralph, do you get to walk the red carpet?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to show up,
yeah,
and I'll say, I'm here, and they're going to say, okay, go do this. Either it'll be go do that, or it'll be get in the bus.
I say get out of the car, you walk the red carpet.
I don't think I just do that.
Well, I'm saying do it.
You're in the movie.
I'm saying that's not the way to make a good impression on people.
All right.
You have to sort of follow the rules, whatever those rules may be.
Dude, they don't pour your cereal.
Right? I heard a guy say that. He sounded smart.
When they pour your cereal, then they can tell you what to do.
But what if they pour my cereal, but they don't pour the milk on the cereal?
Then, if I got dry cereal,
what happens when I have dry cereal then? Who do I turn to?
Yeah, that's a
very confusing analogy. I'm lost. Ed Sheeran, that little garden gnome, Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
He's
I love him. He's got a great voice. Back to you.
He looks like a little doofus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't know. He's like one of those guys. He's like, remember Mr. Rogers, who seemed all nice, but he was actually a Marine sniper who had over 60 kills and was tatted from his neck down. He was covered in tattoos, most of them Japanese erotica.
That's just an urban legend.
That is true. It's 100% true.
None of that is true.
Rogers was a vicious, vicious killer. But you wouldn't expect it on the outside.
But I get all soapy.
Right?
You know, soap suds all over me.
You love the geisha girls.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me.
Right.
Squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Yeah, he would.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not.
That's what made Fred snap.
Oh,
it's the reason he started killing again. Remember when he got back from Nam?
Yeah, all those memories.
Well, Ed Sheeran is also tatted all over. He has 60 tattoos.
Wow.
He has spent 40 hours under the needle. He he has done the math, over the last year.
Wow, that's what's his rush?
I mean, you could love tattoos and get 40, but why do you got to squeeze it in a year?
Because that canvas is, it's not getting any younger. He's got another 30 he has in mind to add to the collection, including the Rolling Stones lips, the logo from the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
A dinosaur. He'd like to get a dinosaur on his body.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the crest from his junior high school. Oh, now you're just running out of things, Ed.
Seriously.
Now you're just reaching for straws. So, he may look like a sweet boy, but he's a bad boy. Bad boy. What you gonna do?
We've talked about in the past how people seem to become addicted to tattoos once they get started. You very rarely see somebody with one.
Yeah.
Once they get it, they like it. I mean, we were just doing that story the other day about Paris Jackson. She's just 18. Ooh. She's got over 50 tattoos. She's 18 years old.
Yeah. What does she have? Anybody know? What's her art? I didn't hear that story. What she got? Do you know?
I don't remember. A bunch of them were musical acts that she admired, and several involved were about her father
any
as well.
Tito?
I'm not sure if Tito made the cut. I think there's a Tito.
I would so get a Tito.
There's no reason
if I was
going to
get one Jackson, I'd get Tito. That'd be the best.
I'm a Reeby man myself.
Just had to go there, man. Just had to go the Reeby route. It's not funny, man. Reeby's a basket case. Sad, sad life.
Oh,
Reeby.
The mental?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Just saying.
Then I'm in.
And this is not show business, but I can't get over the story. It's just it's haunting me.
Sorry. That was a mistake. I didn't mean to hit that.
All right.
I'm sorry.
It's haunting me.
What's haunting
Because
you?
We were just talking about sex. And the internet and webcams.
Right.
And a source for a lot of sex for some people, other than Tinder and stuff, is the Craigslist.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this Craigslist story this morning.
Did not.
It's a woman, Allie, it's going to give you the sweats. A woman accepted a date with a man on Craigslist.
Problem one right
there. She was 24 years old. He was 29 years old.
That's not a problem yet, Kevin. A lot of people date on Craigslist.
They go out on a date.
Yeah.
And the woman keeps asking this guy, are you a serial killer? Are you a serial killer? She keeps asking throughout the date, are you a serial killer? And the guy's like, no, 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 I'm not a serial killer.
Aren't you out on the second question? Don't you go, okay, I'm out. I'm using the restroom all and bolt.
Who's out now?
The guy. She keeps asking if he's a serial killer.
Right.
Oh, because plot twist, she is. What?
Actually, it turned out she was a serial killer.
No!
Yeah. He finally got fed up and yelled at her, no, I'm not. She said, well, I am. This is when they're in the motel. That's when she stabbed him in the chest.
No!
Told police that she had the intent of killing him and then eating his heart.
Oh,
so
wow.
She was meeting guys on Craigslist to kill.
Yes.
Dude.
Ralph.
Luckily, she only punctured his lung. But thankfully, he got away and got to the motel office for help. And the police did show up in time to save his life.
That's a pretty crappy date.
Bail has been set at $1 million for her. So,
does it say how many she had killed in the past, or?
I don't have that information here. I don't know whether he was the first in a long line of intended victims, or whether she was actually
makes a habit of it.
Yeah, she's actually got a tally going, but it was in fact she was in fact in that twist. It came a little sooner than I expected,
Sorry.
But still, it was a twist nonetheless.
Sorry.
And I think we all sort of enjoyed that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dwayne the Dog Chapman is 64 years old today. Singer Shakira turns 40. Actress Gemma Arterton is 31 years old today. Christy Brinkley, one of the OG supermodels, 63 years old today. And Data from Star Trek, The Next Generation, Brent Spiner, celebrates his 68th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It always kind of sucks when you want to buy something and it's a little bit too expensive. You know, you want to rent an apartment. You can't quite afford it. You want to buy a nice car. You just don't have enough money for it. Pair of shoes. But when it comes to medicine, you can't afford it.
You just want to live.
when you need a drug that directly impacts the quality of your life or maybe even how long you're going to live, I feel like that's something there ought to be a way to make affordable. Yet it's also a business, and the people who put all the time and money and effort and trials and everything else into making that drug also deserve to make some money off it. So it is actually a very complicated issue.
Have you guys ever been taking a prescription drug that was not after the, I think it's 10 years, and then it's public domain and they can lower, you can get generics. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how expensive it is. And then it's unbelievable how inexpensive it is.
Yes, it's $100 for a bottle and then it's $4 for a bottle.
Yeah,
yes.
It's crazy.
Because I guess these companies have to make the money while they can, like you mentioned, Kevin, during that 10 years that they have it. But I have to give President Trump credit for at least putting the issue back on the front pages. He met with pharmaceutical executives on Tuesday to talk about what can be done to bring down the price of prescription drugs in this country. And I have so many questions about this, and there's only one man I thought of that we can get on the show that will help us walk through it, and that is our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com, for all the podcasts, live appearances, and more, and weekday afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KBC. How are you, Doc?
I'm good. Hopefully I can help you guys. Let's see what I can do.
Right. I hope so, too. So, Big Pharma, it's easy to say that, just like you talk about Big Oil or what. It kind of makes them sound evil and bad. Are they the villains in this piece?
Well, they certainly charge a lot of money, and that makes them not exactly popular. But what a lot of people don't understand, and Kevin was sort of tilting at, which is that a patent on a molecule, the moment you pull that molecule off the shelf and identify it, like you build the structure, you show the structure, a patent clock starts to run that second. And it runs for, now it's been extended to about 20 years. But it takes,
oh, great.
Yeah. But it takes about 10 years to get that drug to market, to do the necessary research. You have to bring it out. You have to figure out its mechanism of action. You have to figure out if it works. You have to figure it out in animals and people and then multiple people and cross-reference it to placebos and other available treatments. And that takes about 10 years. And I was talking to Doug McIntyre at KBC, and I misquoted. I said it was $1 billion. Turns out now Big Pharma is spending about $5 billion per molecule to get a medication through the FDA in this country.
Now, is the FDA the problem there?
The FDA is the problem, and I will tell you, and it's easy to focus on a government agency, but the real problem is, I was thinking about this, and I couldn't find any information online about this, but the real problem is, as I've talked to people that work in the FDA and in the drug companies, a big piece of that money is spent satisfying and paying lawyers and legal issues. And then on top of that, they have to keep another few billion-dollar war chest on hand for the lawsuits that inevitably come with any medical practice or any medical device.
So you're saying that's part of every medicine?
Every molecule that is available to put in your body to change your physiology that is FDA approved and allowed to, it's billions and billions and billions of dollars. And only this country does it. So we wonder why the cost gets funneled down to us. We have to change this. Now, do we have the will to change? Will President Trump change it? Will there be tort reform? That's a tall order.
What needs to change? Just the lawyer aspect of it?
Well, they need to – I don't know the what. This is what I was afraid you'd ask me. Because my understanding is that something like 3 18-wheelers top to bottom full of paper – is necessary to get something through the FDA. Well, obviously, that needs to be streamlined.
And is that why when you're watching the news and you see a commercial for any kind of drug, no matter how passive it seems, that there's a long list of disclaimers of the things that might happen to you if you take these drugs?
That's a tiny little sliver of the manifestations of all the lawyers swirling around on the drug company side to defend the company against the gigantic swarm of lawyers on the other side coming after them, because they have a big target on their back because they have a lot of capital.
It is a down, 10 seconds of the commercial is how much this drug will help you, and 50 seconds is it could cause anal leakage or death.
And I'm not defending anybody. I'm just saying we got to bring prices down, and the only way I can think of doing that is streamlining this process and reducing the legal liability. And people will argue, oh, well, then they'll cut corners, and then there'll be harm to people. I'm not sure it makes that much difference. You can't go from 3 18-wheelers to 1 18-wheeler full of paper documenting the safety of your product and the efficacy. You know what I mean? We've gone to insane proportions, insane levels with this, and it seems like it should be something that could be streamlined.
Okay, so you mentioned that our country is the only one who does this. Let's go to our closest neighbor. How does Canada handle their prescription drugs? Are they significantly cheaper?
Yes. Oh, for sure. And I don't know if that's why necessarily, and I'm not in there, determining pricing on medication. I don't know if that's how the drug companies determine that. I mean, you could argue just as easily, well, why don't they spread that cost on all countries? Why do we have to deal with it? Well, it's sort of like we're willing to deal with it, I think, is more we do pay more. We do belly up more. We do absorb a lot of the cost for a lot of things that we shouldn't. And you know, I listen, the drug company's hands should be held to the fire on this. There's no doubt. Everybody needs to kind of get together and start rowing in the same direction. If we start pointing fingers, you know, lawyers are bad, drug companies are bad, medications are bad, if we do that, we're not going to get anywhere.
Okay.
Let's all go, hey, let's lower prices, let's all figure this out, let's do what's right for people, and let's get it on with it.
If I get a script for a prescription for a drug, can I get it from Canada? Is it legal?
It's legal. I don't know
close
the exact
enough. Close enough for me.
but there may be some, the issuing company may have some issues, I think, and you may be breaking some laws.
I mean, but some laws.
Dr. Drew said it was okay.
I
heard it.
I have patients that do that all the time.
You do?
All right. Yeah.
Doctor, if it cost $5 billion to bring a drug to market, and these pharmaceutical companies are in business to make money, can you blame them for not pursuing certain drugs if they don't think it's going to be profitable at the end, even if it would help some people?
That's the nature of business, right? And so then somebody has to come in and subsidize or twist somebody's arm or, you know, create incentives somehow for that to happen. Yeah, and or big companies become so bloated that there are small companies available to take on that. And that's one of the arguments. The smaller companies seem to be able to navigate this stuff with less cost. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is because they don't have such a big target on their back.
What about Zimbabwe? I get a lot of my drugs from Zimbabwe.
Ooh, nice.
Is that cool?
Nice. You get the ayahuasca from there or what?
I'm hearing a lot of words that I never thought I'd hear today on the show. I think what a lot of us worry about is, remember that awful story, Ali, you may remember his name, the guy who bought the Wu-Tang album, the Martin, whatever his name is, Skrelly or whatever.
Yeah.
He's a guy who just decided on a whim, it sounded like, to just jack up the price of the EpiPen like by 900% and really put it. And really put it out of the affordable range of so many people with asthma and people who needed something like that. That's what we're afraid of, is that we could be manipulated to the detriment of our health.
Yes, that's criminal. And yes, and but believe me, there are people watching for that, and there are all sorts of standards. You know, there are all kinds of forces in place to prevent and respond to that kind of thing. And obviously, that guy, that company's gone now, essentially.
Right.
But hang on. Next week, I want to tell you about a new use of Special K, ketamine, in depression. It might be something for Kevin.
All right.
Oh, good. Yeah. May I ask one more question on this prescription drug topic? And that is...
Wait, hold on, Beat. I'm sorry. Dr. Drew, should I order some from Canada so I'm ready for next week?
Yeah, I'll infuse it during the show.
Okay, back to you, Beat.
Here's my last question, Drew, and this is on the generic thing. What percentage of the generic drug has to be the same as the name brand when you're trying to get a copy that's cheaper?
I think it's 90% bioavailability. I may be wrong, maybe 95%. I have to look the number up, but it's almost the same thing. And listen, I don't discourage patients from getting generics ever.
Okay, but sometimes they don't work as well, right?
Sometimes there are issues in certain patients, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790KABC and drdrew.com for all the podcasts, including his daily show with Adam Carolla, which you want to check out, the new weekly infusion and the original podcast as well. Thanks so much for the time, Doc. We'll do it again next time.
Bye-bye.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 937.
Anyway, when David Bowie came to America, I picked him up at the airport because I worked at Mercury Records.
Couldn't get a cab
around L.A. Mm-hmm. And we threw a party for him Paul Feigen's house.
It
was a party house. That was the party house where David Bowie played on the waterbed. I introduced the show.
What?
Everybody in the world was there. John Mendelsohn, Todd Everett.
Waited? That's awesome.
Richard Cromlum and tons of press people were there.
Everybody was there.
David Bowie's first show, basically.
A lot of big stars.
On a waterbed at Paul Feigen's house.
Wow.
Well, what happened was when David Bowie,
instead
of having him stay at a hotel, I had him stay at a friend of mine's house, Tom Ayers, who was the record producer was my partner of the English Disco.
Yeah. Right.
And Tom Ayers was the manager of Gene Vincent.
Does this story end? Or
but
I don't recognize any of these names except for David Bowie.
A little tiny recording studio downstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
So one night, Gene Vincent was there.
Uh-huh.
We're all hanging out. We went in the recording studio.
Right.
And David Bowie began playing this song, I'm about to play you, with Gene Vincent. Gene Vincent's playing on this.
Nice.
And this was the first time Hang On To Yourself was recorded by David Bowie. This is 1971.
All right.
On Valentine's Day.
Good story.
And here it is in Tom Ayers' studio.
Our radio
garage,
death.
Downstairs. Recording studio. Hang on to yourself. Gene Vincent and David Bowie.
I'm sorry we don't have time to hear the song, Ronnie, but thank you for bringing it to life.
I can't hang on to myself, though.
Yeah. Hang on to yourself, mister.
It is 9:39. We survived that. That means Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
So, Donald Trump walks into a prayer breakfast. I know this sounds like the beginning of a joke. Well, actually, it kind of is, but it really happened. He was there. This is an annual event. It's run by a high-powered Christian organization. Has a lot of political sway. And the president gives a keynote speech every year as a tradition. And talks about, you know, God and junk and stuff.
Right.
And prays for the problems that we have and the division in our country and the violence and the poverty. And there's a lot of things to pray for that hopefully God will step in and wave his wand or whatever he does and things will get better.
I think that's Harry Potter you're thinking of.
Well, somebody. Okay. Got magic. Some magic guy. This year it took a weird turn when Donald Trump, as the president, gave his keynote speech and took the opportunity to take a shot at Arnold Schwarzenegger as the host of The Celebrity Apprentice. That seemed wildly out of place to many people who were there.
I think so.
Only in the sense was that it was wildly out of place for a prayer breakfast.
It seems like it doesn't matter where he is. He will talk about whatever nonsense.
He can't even pretend to right. understand how decorum should be.
Yeah.
He said they hired a big movie star, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to take my place, and we know how that turned out. Ratings went right down the tubes. It's been a total disaster, and Mark Burnett will never, ever bet against Trump again. I just want to pray for Arnold if we can for those ratings. What the?
Can you imagine being in that
Burnett
room?
How did bet against Trump when he had to quit the show to be president? I don't understand any of this.
It's like Rodney's telling a story.
It is.
Wow. So what are we supposed to pray for? Better ratings for Arnold?
For Arnold.
Okay. I think better ratings, yeah.
An Arnold spokesperson for Governor Schwarzenegger said, Arnold is praying that President Trump can start improving his own approval ratings, which were the worst in history for an incoming president, by taking his job seriously and working inclusively. But that's not all that Arnold said. He went. He took to social media and released the following statement.
Hey, Donald, I have a great idea. Why don't we switch jobs? You take over TV because you're such an expert in ratings, and I take over your job, and then people can finally sleep comfortably again.
Ah! Drop the mic.
Ralph, you watched, I know this isn't the point, but you watched both versions of The Celebrity Apprentice. Who do you think was a better host?
I enjoy the Schwarzenegger version more because he's less of a dick to people. And I think that was the attraction for a lot of people watching The Celebrity Apprentice with Trump, is they liked how he would be rough on people in the boardroom and everything. I always found that sort of the most distasteful part. But I think Schwarzenegger is just sort of like a charming, fun guy to watch, so I enjoy that version more. But
you're still gonna
pray
for it,
I'm the minority. I think most people like the original version.
Right.
But regardless, there's a lot of other things to worry about and talk about.
I mean, I would think so, yeah. I don't know how you have room.
Guess we got to pray for Arnold.
TV shows you used to be on. I don't know if you're president. I feel like it would be crushing how many different problems you have to solve.
I think Arnold has to kind of become Batman now. He's got to put on a costume and he's got to fight Trump because Trump's kind of like the Joker / Lex Luthor thing. We need some superhero stuff to happen now. That's what's happening.
I am the dark. I am the knight.
Wrong.
I'm Batman.
Wrong.
He's climbing up the side of the White House. Today's celebrity birthdays, Gemma Arterton, former Bond girl, lovely and talented actress. She is 31 years old today. I'm not sure if I'm saying that name right, though. Arterton. Is that right, Kevin?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Arterton. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give me another guy.
I've tried it like 10 times.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
She gave me another go.
How delightful is she?
Right?
Give it another go! And then Kevin went, I'm going to...
Yeah, I didn't say any better the second time either. Chris, well, how about now? Now that you've had all day.
True. Now you've had the rehearsal.
To practice. Gemma Arterton.
Arterton. So very close.
Arterton. Yeah, I think that was the best, though, this
Thank
morning,
you.
Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In the win column.
Christy Brinkley, 63 years old today. How many wins you got there? How many W's in that column, do you know?
Two so far.
Two.
Yep.
That's great.
Just starting.
Good for you.
You don't pour his cereal, Ralph.
That's right. I don't. I don't even warm his cocoa.
Right? Whatever that means.
Shakira's 40 years old today. Brent Spiner, who, of course, played Data on Star Trek The Next Generation, 68 years old today. So funny, by the way, in Blunt Talk as well. But sadly, that show was canceled. We won't get any more Blunt Talk.
I hadn't heard it was canceled.
Oh, it has.
That's too bad.
It's a nightmare.
It's a fun show, and I love Patrick Stewart so much.
I'm with you. What do you want from me?
Why'd you cancel it, Ralph?
I didn't.
God damn it.
I'm just the bearer.
I'm sorry to hear that. Brent Spiner is also excellent on Robert Kirkman's Outcast as well, by the way.
Right.
What's
he plays the devil.
You know, Allie. You tell us what that was about. About the black smoke that comes out, and there's
like
birds,
tar, and, then it
and
goes
there's
up
a
into
guy.
The
and he comes in, and he comes out, and then he wants to know why the clothes are off the rack, mm-hmm. and then he's got to go through the pile. I can't buy any more time than that.
Come on, Chip. We have it. We don't have it.
I can play as much as you want.
No,
but
we don't have.
Well, explain to people that are listening that don't quite know what the show's about. You're basically a kid, a man now, that was possessed by demons as a kid, but not really, but you got one out of your mom, but we're not sure yet. And now you're getting demons out of all random people, but what's this black tar coming out of him? What's the breathing? But he becomes this kind of hermit and sequesters himself away from everyone he loves because he's afraid of who he thinks he might be. The really? Thing about Kyle, I feel, because I was a huge To Kill a Mockingbird fan, he's Boo Radley. He's just this hermity guy, but he has so much good to give. And obviously, you're trying to help all these people in the town. And why is everyone in the town possessed by a demon? What is happening in that town?
Right. Yeah.
And can you not move? And why don't you ever do your dishes?
I don't know.
So in this show, though, you now know just by touching someone that can seem totally normal if they are possessed just through your touch.
Yeah.
So that's new. But also, with the breathing in, all these people try and breathe your breath, but are they trying to get stronger by taking the souls you've internalized, that you've outcast from other people, but now they're in you? It's the soul. Why are you laughing?
I'm so serious right now. Take it easy.
But then, once it does kind of go, and it's gotten to the point where, oh no, it's over. This demon is now out of him. It turns into this black tar. Then it looks like birds. And then it just dissipates into the air. Where does it go?
We don't know yet.
But you know. I want to know now.
Will we?
It's like the souls of all the outcast demons intertwine into one big gooey substance.
It's like,
sort of.
Yes. And didn't you get another season before it even premiered? Which is kind of a nice thing.
Allie likes a show. There's stuff she needs to know.
Sounds like it.
On and on and on she rambles, curious, so curious. There is no escaping now, the guest is getting furious. Allie's questions, when the world turns into a tin. So much questions, and it's never gonna end. Tell me all the spoilers now.
There was... We did have a guest in the studio at that point.
That was, Patrick Hugget. Yeah.
And he's
not possible. You would have heard something from him, I think, if he had.
He was in there. He was listening with the rest of us.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
So Brent Spiner's on that show.
Right, apparently.
Yeah. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take your out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon, 5 p.m. on K-Rock with a commercial-free hour. Thanks to them for that. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Beer Mug Interviews. We've got a brand-new Internet Roundup. We've got the movie beat because it's Friday. And we've got your Super Bowl covered with R.J. Bell in Las Vegas and Matt Money Smith live from Houston. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.